There is still a need to be showing your Israelite card if you want to be a somebody on the new earth. I will repeat that for the incredulous. There is still a need to present your Israelite card if you want to be a bigwig or a big shot, you could say it that way. A important person, a VIP on the new earth. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zunder. You're at the Revelation Series. I make sense for a living 5 days a week here from my laundry room. I continue to make sense during the weekend when you don't hear me talk, but I just do it on the side. You know, I do it in average, everyday times of life. I constantly make sense, but I only do it for a living here while I'm on the air with you. 5 days a week. We're in chapter 21 of the Revelation series. I'm wearing sunglasses again this morning for those of you tuned into the laundry cam because I was up till 3 a.m. presenting the evangel of the grace of God to a man who was staying here by the name of Jim. And joining me in that fun, frolicking time was Matthew Holland. I did not tell you this, but Nancy Holland's son has been here visiting from Norway. You remember Nancy Holland, the believer who sat in on one of the sessions here, right over here, and she fell on the step and broke her hip. 2 weeks of rehabilitation, extended her Florida vacation by unusual means, and her son is here. He's here for a race. He's a triathlete in the Orlando area, and he wanted to come and see Zunder. So we've been having a nice time, and we sat out by the fire last night presenting truths to a man who's very interested and very receptive to them, a man who's staying here from Boston on a little vacation, and it just worked organically. You know, we don't force these things on people, but as you talk to people and get to know them, you find out there are lots of good people in the world, even though we're living in treacherous times. We're living in the time where Paul says that perilous periods will be present, and yet you find a soft soul, and you begin to, maybe from looking at the fire or from the stars, you start to talk about profound themes. And by this, I do not mean the Boston Red Sox and the Florida Marlins. I mean profound themes. And so the topics came up of God and Christ and the universe and free will and the salvation of all. And Matthew took the lead. He eloquently began to herald this word, and I chimed in where it was needed. And Jim left this morning at 6 a.m. I was still over here on my futon, but he went home with How to Quit Church Without Quitting God and The First Idiot in Heaven. Speaking of The First Idiot in Heaven, my book about Paul's gospel, if you haven't written Charles Rutsch to get your copies at $1 a piece, this is a book I want you to pass it out, please. I don't want any volumes of this book left at the snatching away of the body of Christ. We need to get as many people as possible into this truth to understand the grace of God. And the book to do that is The First Idiot in Heaven. Write Charles Rutsch, Charles, R-U-T-S-C-H, at gmail.com, and have him send you a book. I think a carton of books, 30 books, maybe 32 books in a carton is $32. I don't know how the shipping is taken care of. You'll have to email Charles and ask him about that. But if you haven't done so, I encourage you again to do so. Now, do it. Do it. And I'm going to be announcing a conference here very soon in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm going to just make sure of the details. I have more visitors down here. Yeah, Dean and Amy Wilkinson and their son, their daughter Haley are down here for a week for fellowship, and they like the son too. I'm trying to think of what's number one. They come for the son, or they come from for Zunder. I don't know. It might be a combination of the two, but I think the son is a great pull. Anyway, there's times of fellowship going on down here, and I want you to join in that fellowship. The tentative dates, just keep this in mind, and I'm going to hammer it down here soon. Don't be making airline reservations today, but maybe in the next 2 days, looking at May 26th through 28th, May 26th through 28th for a conference in Birmingham, Alabama. This is not an official announcement, but hang in there. Revelation chapter 21. This is, I'm going to show you the size again. I've been telling you about the size of the New Jerusalem. And just because this thing is 1,500 miles high, it goes into the exosphere. I'm going to show you that today. This is it. Finally, I'm going to do it. But you get all excited and you think, my God, this thing goes up where the space shuttle is. Yes, but we are in the celestial realm. The exosphere is nothing. That's the welcome mat for the celestial realm. And so as great as the New Jerusalem is, yesterday I told you it had a wall huge and high. It had four walls. I don't get very excited about that, not when I'm talking about being in the celestials. Walls are necessary, as I said here in Eon 3, but in Eon 5, apparently they're still necessary on the earth. Back to a card-carrying Israelite. On the earth, whenever you mention the word earth, Israel will have preeminence. Whenever you're talking about the earth, whether it's the present earth in Eon 3 or the new earth in Eon 5, Israel has preeminence on the earth, and all the other nations can only be second-class citizens on the earth. So anyway, yes, I'm wearing my shades because it was so late. Got up, been so late, my eyes look like hell. But so this verse that we have in Galatians 3:28 is unparalleled. This is the verse that got Paul in trouble. This is the verse that got Paul beaten by the Jews. This is a verse that made mainstream Israelites, even those who believe in Jesus Christ, hate and distrust Paul. It's Galatians 3:28. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Yes, racial distinctions in Christ, mind you, disintegrate. Because we're a common humanity in Christ. Because Paul takes us back to Adam, and in Adam, we have all national distinctions erased. Check up on me here. I'm talking sense. I make sense for a living. Listen, Adam, what nationality was Adam? Can you tell me that? Was Adam a Jew? Was he a Greek? Was he an Afghan? Was he a Pole? Was he a Finn? Was he Irish? Was he French? Was he an American? Surely Adam was an American. No, Adam had no nationality because there were not any nations prior to the Tower of Babel, I think, right? Is that right? Anyway, in Paul, he puts the whole race into the Adam boat, and we all have a common pedigree. So now in his evangel, we fly ahead in spirit to a time when that element will return and there are no national distinctions, except he's raised it to a much higher level because now we have spiritual enlightenment based on the cross of Jesus Christ. In the meantime, the poor Jews are slugging away even in the millennium. You have to present your Jew card there. Peter ask Jesus Christ, we have followed you. What will be our place in the kingdom? Jesus says, you will sit on one of 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's very important to be an Israelite in the millennium and on the new earth. We know it on the millennium, easy. You will be sit on one of 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I ask you this question this morning. Where's Paul's throne? Paul was the greatest apostle. Where's his throne? He has no throne in the New Jerusalem, on the millennial earth or in the New Jerusalem. And yet he's the greatest apostle. Why is that? Because he doesn't belong in that system. For one thing, he disqualified himself. The dude committed the so-called unpardonable sin. Jesus said there's a sin that has no forgiveness in this eon or the eon to come, and that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's taking the testimony of the Holy Spirit, trashing it, and saying, that's really not the Holy Spirit. That's a testimony of Satan. Ooh, Paul did that. So, as Saul, he disqualified himself from any hope of having any part in the millennium. He was dead. That guy was going to end up at the Great White Throne. He was going to end up, because remember, at the time Saul lived and did his Pharisee thing in Jerusalem, there was only one evangel in town, ladies and gentlemen, and that evangel was the circumcision evangel. And if you wanted to be a bigwig in that evangel, and certainly Saul the Pharisee did, he thought he was in the front of the class, you had to do the law, you had to do all these things, you certainly had to be a card-carrying Israelite, and you certainly could not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You could reject Jesus his testimony on the earth, but you could not reject, and he forgave Israel from the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But then there was a further testimony 40 days later at Pentecost, 50 days later, at Pentecost, when Peter preached the evangel of the circumcision, repent and be baptized. Repent of what? Of crucifying your own Messiah. Well, Saul never did that, so he committed the, quote, unpardonable sin, so he was out. The only chance that guy had was either at the Great White Throne or as God, if God did something completely new and completely radical with that man. Completely new, completely radical. And he did. He gave him an evangel that had nothing to do with being an Israelite. That's the only way the guy got anything. Okay, I'm going to give you a new evangel that has nothing to do with being an Israelite. And that guy had a second, he had a new lease on life. He got a second, quote, chance, unquote. He had a completely, he had a restart. He had a reset. And now he had a greater evangel based on Adam. And he, nobody can blow that because you're in Adam by virtue of being born into this world. So Paul got connected into a greater thing, made it by the skin of his teeth. That's a figure of speech, of course. But listen to this. Listen to this. We have a city coming down from heaven, and Jesus Christ carried John away in spirit on a mountain, huge and high. He shows me, says John, the holy city Jerusalem as it is descending out of heaven from God, having the glory from God. Her luminosity is like a stone most precious, as a crystalline jasper gem, having a wall, huge and high, having 12 portals. This is interesting. I'm getting at the number 12 here. And at the portals, 12 messengers, and their names inscribed, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. 12 tribes of the sons of Israel on the New Jerusalem, on the New Earth, in Aeon 5. From the east are 3 portals, from the north, 3 portals, from the south, 3 portals, and, as you guessed, from the west, 3 portals. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lambkin, 12 apostles, the men standing by the Sea of Galilee Jesus chose. Matthew was at the tax office when Jesus Christ changed their lives. He was picking out the future rulers of the universe on a Thursday, on an average day when these guys were going about their business. And here are these very names who were nobodies, who were the working class, who were the offscouring of all things in the city of Galilee, in the district of Galilee. He chooses them, and their names are end up being etched on the foundation of the New Jerusalem. How huge is that? But my point is, there 12 is the number of administration. Whenever you see the number 12 in the scripture, if you've studied Bullinger's book Number in Scripture, you will know that 12 is the number of government. It's the number of administration. That's why there are always 12 apostles and 12 tribes of Israel. These 12s are going to be running the earth. Very important. And I don't know if you knew this, but when Judas had killed himself, when he had betrayed Christ and killed himself, there were only 11. And you'll find that the apostles were devitalized at that time. They did nothing. They had no power. They just hung around the upper room doing, you know, and so they had to be replaced by Matthias. And then when Matthias came, then boom, the power source is plugged back in and they're off and running. Yeah, because they have 12 again, and that's a very important number. Because that's to do with number one, the tribe, the sons of Israel. Israel, the man, formerly Jacob, changed to Israel, became the Israel you know and love today. He had 12 sons. They come from the 12, right? They're emblematic, the 12 tribes of Israel. Those names of those tribes are actual people. You know that Levi. It always amuses me when I see Levi jeans. A Jewish guy started that company. Levi's. Everybody knows about Levi's. The funny thing is that the guy who started it was a Jew, naturally. And he was named after, no doubt, Levi, which was one of the sons of Israel. And the people coming from that tribe of Levi, Levi's descendants, were the ones who worked in the temple. From him came the Levitical priesthood. But it's so funny that when people put on their jeans and women pull their jeans on and they have that Levi tag in the back, they don't realize that they're wearing the name. It's the same name that's going to be on one of the portals, on one of the found there, yeah, the portals, the city gates of the new Jerusalem Levine. Today, all many people know about it is that it's a brand of jeans. Isn't it a brand of jeans? It goes back to the name of a son of Israel. I just think that it's so funny how God leaves testimonies everywhere on this earth of the importance of Israel. Earth Israel, Earth Israel. That's why for us to have any chance at all, we're not Israelites. On the earth, we would be second-class citizens, even on the new earth. But we are plugged into a new system that precedes Israel. Isn't that interesting? We precede Israel. So we were chosen in Christ even before Israel, before the disruption of the world even. So because we precede Israel, and our calling was sealed and known before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel, even existed, that we don't have to worry that we're not Israelites. We don't have to have our card to get into the kingdom that says we're an Israelite. Our only card is the Adam card. You have the Adam card? Do you have the Adam card? Yes. Are you plugged in to an evangel that gives you a new creation under a new Adam, a new head of the entire human race, irrespective of any racial distinctions? Yes. Oh, then you hop, skip, and jump over Israel, over the walls, over the foundations, over the gates, with the names of the 12 apostles and the names of the 12 tribes. That's as great as can be. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying that you have something better. But if it weren't for a new gospel in town, you would have zero, zilch. Well, you would have something possibly if you had tied yourself to Israel, tied your fortunes, hitched up your wagon to the Israelites. You would have had some blessings. You would have gotten scraps from the table. You would have been patted on the head and said, good little proselyte. And they would have accepted you possibly. But still, you would have had to have bowed down to Peter, James, and John. Now, with this new message, we don't have to bow down to anybody except Christ. And then when we come, let's say we as celestial dignitaries come down to visit either the millennial earth or the new earth, the apostles will be bowing down to us. Imagine that, because we will be of more importance and more stature and a higher calling than even these great men who were really, in their day, not great men. They were working class, average, everyday schlups. I might call them schlups. And I did just call them schlups. And we, this is one thing we have in common with those of the circumcision evangel, is we're all basically schlups. And it delights God to choose the likes of us to do great things. Some do greater things than others. There is the glory of the sun. Great. There's the glory of the moon. Yeah, it has its own glory. It's a reflected glory, but it still lights up the night. There's the glory of stars. Stars differ in glory. There's dwarf stars. There's red stars, blue stars, old stars, new stars. And so we will shine like the stars of heaven, in fact. So here I go. I still have not shown you the height of this city, but I'm not upset about it now, and I hope you aren't either, because I needed to tell you first. I needed to first tell you that you're higher than the highest wall. You're higher than a 1,500 mile high wall. You, in the next eon, starting and continuing into eon 5 and continuing probably for eternity, you are higher than the highest, most noble wall on the New Jerusalem. And you sparkle more than any gem laid on the foundation of the New Jerusalem. And you have an entrance into the mind and the will and the power of God that is wider by far than any entrance, any portal with the name of any tribe of Israel on the wall of the New Jerusalem. Now that I've established that fact for you, tomorrow we can look into details, and you can look at them, at these details, in an interested way. I'm interested in this, but you can do it as a spectator. You can do it as someone on the sidelines, looking in and appreciating and loving Israel's glory, but knowing that your glory exceeds that of Israel, as the heavens exceeds the earth.